Good morning, everybody. I welcome you in the name of our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. We've got another person in the sanctuary this morning, so I welcome you from Deacon Bill, Cantor Dave, our computer guru, Tom Castle, and our computer guru in training, Ethan Gear. We're so grateful that you are joining us today via worship with a Zoom, and our soloist today is Doreen Lawrence. So, happy Father's Day, guys. It's a wonderful day for all of you, I hope. I am so eternally grateful for all the dads and the grandpops and the uncles and all the men who share their love and nurture with their families and mentor young people who might be missing that very precious dad relationship in their lives. So thank you, and I pray you have a good day today and cook some steaks on the grill. So every Sunday morning, as we've been gathering for worship, I've been sharing with you things that you are grateful for and that I am grateful for. So today, the rain. I could see the grass and flowers and tomatoes smiling as the rains came down yesterday, and I think we're having more today. And I'm so grateful for the faithfulness of so many here at St. Matthew as we continue our worship via Zoom, have our meetings via Zoom. So grateful for our food pantry and for, yes, for your continued financial faithfulness that our ministries can continue and thrive. And for those who showed up for our first Q&A this past week, you will have another chance to join in with John O'Mara and me on Wednesday night this time, June 24th, at 7 o'clock, same drill. Let me know if you want an invitation. Peggy_Marks@comcast.net. We look forward to seeing you and chatting. And again, I want to emphasize that no official date has been set to have in-house worship. Our task force continues to work out all the issues involved. So please keep us in your prayers. And a very brief introduction to the themes of the third Sunday after Pentecost. Because they're kind of some tough lessons. God does not promise that the path of disciples will be easy. Jeremiah feels the pain of rejection from those who do not want to hear what he has to say. And Jesus declares that his words may bring stark division. And somewhere in those texts, hopefully, we will find words of grace and hope and love. And so now, make sure your phones are ready, so you can send the peace of Christ to someone when we share it together today. Let us prepare our hearts and our minds to worship God. My prayer is that our time together will be a time of peace, hope, and grace for each one of you. We begin worship with a brief order for confession and forgiveness. So blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, whose steadfast love is everlasting, whose faithfulness endures from generation to generation. Amen. And trusting in the mercy of God, let us confess our sin. Reconciling God, we confess that we do not trust your abundance and we deny your presence in our lives. We place our hope in ourselves and rely on our own efforts. We fail to believe that you provide enough for all, and we abuse your good creation for our own benefit. We fear difference and do not welcome others as you have welcomed us. We sin in thought, word, and deed. By your grace, forgive us. Through your love, renew us. And in your spirit, lead us, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life. Amen. Beloved children of God, by the radical abundance of divine mercy, we have peace with God through Christ Jesus, through whom we have obtained grace upon grace. Our sins are forgiven. Let us now live in hope, for hope does not disappoint, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. let us pray. Teach us, good Lord God, to serve you as you deserve, to give and not to count the cost, to fight and not to heed the wounds, to toil and not to seek for rest, to labor and not to ask for reward, except that of knowing that we do through your will, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. So it's time for the kids. Good morning, everybody. Are you up and bright and shiny and ready for church this morning? I hope so, because I'm sure ready to talk with you. So let me see. Nate and Kate, are you here? Raise your hands. Jillian, Rachel, are you guys here? Elizabeth, are you here? Christopher and Olivia and Allie, are you kids here? Rachel and David and Harrison, are you here? Benjamin, Grace, and Brian, I hope you're all here. And it is a very good morning, and it's Father's Day, and I know you're doing something special for your dads today, and I bet you've made them wonderful cards that show them how much you love your dad, and that's so wonderful. And we're so grateful that you're doing that for your dads, and they will love every little thing that you make for them today, and all the hugs and kisses you give them. So I wanted to talk to you about sparrows. Sparrows are birds. They're little teeny tiny birds, and there's a million of them flying through the sky. A million of them flying through the sky. And we hear about sparrows in the gospel this morning. Jesus talks about sparrows and says, you know, sparrows are really cheap. Even in Bible times, sparrows were very inexpensive. And yet God loves them so much that if one of them falls on the ground, God cares about that sparrow. So I want you to think about that. If God cares about that little teeny tiny sparrow, and there's so many of them, just think how much more God loves each one of you. When you were baptized, the water, the pastor poured the water over your head and said, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And Jesus loves you, will love you, and hold you, and care for you forever. So I want you to always remember that. Your life is much more important than a sparrow, and God loves all the little sparrows, and Jesus loves you. Amen. Have a great week. See you next Sunday.
The first reading is from Jeremiah chapter 20, verses 7 through 13. Jeremiah accuses God of forcing him into a ministry that brings him only contempt and persecution. Yet Jeremiah is confident that God will be a strong protector against his enemies and commits his life into God's hands. Jeremiah writes, O Lord, you have enticed me, and I was enticed. You have overpowered me, and you have prevailed. I have become a laughingstock all day long. Everyone mocks me. For whenever I speak, I must cry out, I must shout, violence and destruction, for the word of the Lord has become for me a reproach and derision all day long. If I say, I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, then within me there is something like a burning fire shut up in my bones. I am weary with holding it in, and I cannot. For I hear many whispering, terror is all around. Denounce him. Let us denounce him. All my close friends are watching for me to stumble. Perhaps he can be enticed, and we can prevail against him and take our revenge on him. But the Lord is with me like a dread warrior. Therefore, my persecutors will stumble, and they will not prevail. They will greatly be shamed, for they will not succeed. Their eternal dishonor will never be forgotten. O Lord of hosts, you test the righteous. You see the heart and the mind. Let me see your retribution upon them, for to you I have committed my cause. Sing to the Lord, praise the Lord, for he has delivered the life of the needy from the hands of the evildoers. The word of the Lord.
A reading from Psalm 69, beginning at verse 7. It is for your sake that I have borne reproach, that shame has covered my face. I have become a stranger to my kindred, an alien to my mother's children. It is zeal for your house that has consumed me. The insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. When I humbled myself and my soul with fasting, they insulted me for doing so. When I made sackcloth my clothing, I became a byword to them. I am the subject of gossip for those who sit in the gate, and the drunkards make songs about me. But as for me, my prayer is to you, O Lord. At an acceptable time, O God, in the abundance of your steadfast love, answer me. With your faithful help, rescue me from sinking in the mire. Let me be delivered from my enemies and from the deep waters. Do not let the flood sweep over me, or the deep swallow me up, or the pit close its mouth over me. Answer me, O Lord, for your steadfast love is good. According to your abundant mercy, turn to me. Do not hide your face from your servant, for I am in distress. Make haste to answer me. Draw near to me. Redeem me. Set me free because of my enemies.
The second reading is from Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 11. In baptism, we were incorporated into the reality of Christ's death and resurrection. We have been made new in Christ through his death and resurrection to live freed from sin. St. Paul writes, "Should we continue to sin in order that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin go on living in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him by a baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be destroyed and we might no longer be enslaved to sin. For whoever has died to sin is freed from sin. But if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you must also consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Speak, O Lord, your servant is listening. You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 10, beginning with verse 24. Jesus warns his disciples that their ministry in his name will meet with opposition. However, he assures them, "For they need not fear, for the truth will come to light. Life is found in Christ." And Jesus said to the 12, "A disciple is not above the teacher, nor a slave above the master. It is enough for the disciple to be like the teacher and the slave like the master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. And even the hairs of your head are all counted. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me before others, I also will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I also will deny before my Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and one's foes will be members of one's own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. This is a marvelous text. If you want to hear a whole variety of approaches to it that pastors are taking this morning, I would encourage you to do that. It's very easy. Several of my friends and members of the congregation, in fact, have told me that they love it. On Sunday mornings, they can hear more than one sermon. And this is definitely a text where you're going to hear a whole variety of approaches to this text. Each pastor, hopefully and prayerfully, we try to craft our words to meet the needs of our flock. Whether we succeed in that, we don't always know. We certainly don't know. But this is also a text that very much afflicts the comfortable and comforts the afflicted. So, do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. An activity that children have enjoyed for over the years in Portland is a place called Pump It Up. I never knew such a place existed until I visited my grandkids there while visiting them. And it was filled with inflatable sports equipment, from bouncy slides to basketball courts to obstacle courses and to bounce houses. And I witnessed children of all ages literally throwing themselves onto the equipment, sliding down the slides, bouncing as high and as hard as they could. They would run back and forth from PlayStations with huge smiles on their faces while my heart was in my mouth, in my stomach. My heart was panicking. For about an hour, the children would play so hard and jump so high with so much energy and enthusiasm without any danger of serious injury, or at least so I was assured. I had my doubts. Everything was bouncy and padded. There weren't any hard surfaces to run into. And for extra measure, there were a few spotters wandering around the area, making sure everyone was following directions and that all of the landings were soft ones. Everyone played fearlessly because they knew that no matter what they did, they could not really get hurt. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. And I found myself thinking this week, wouldn't it be great if life could be that way? We could set to the tasks, the responsibilities, even the fun of our daily lives with no hesitation or fears, because we knew that our landings would be soft ones. In truth, we have no such reassurance, not even from Jesus. In this series of warnings and exhortations from our gospel this morning, he tells us not to be afraid, but he certainly does not promise us that there will be no hard surfaces to run into. He doesn't promise us that our decisions will not have consequences. And yet, he tells us, his disciples, to live fearlessly anyway. These are not texts I would have chosen for Father's Day. I have not come to bring peace but a sword. I have come to set man against his father, and then whoever loves his father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. Happy Father's Day, everybody. To which I would like to say, thanks a lot, Jesus. But they're here. The words are here, and we can't avoid them. So what are we to make of these words of Jesus? So let's just try to pull back a little bit. I would love it if all of Jesus' words in Scripture were just love, 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 and were not controversial or hard to follow. I mean, what can be so controversial about someone whose message is God loves everyone, and God loves everyone so much that Jesus, God's Son, was willing to give up his life for all of us to make all this true and possible? What can possibly be controversial about loving and accepting absolutely everyone? Well, everyone, everything. We need the starkness of Jesus' words. We need Jesus to call us to task, to be about kingdom work. We need Jesus' words to shake us out of our complacency and to see where God's people are hurting and being oppressed. We need Jesus' words to get us to acknowledge that change is needed in our society. It is hard to hear the truth. Moorestown Ministerium held a prayer vigil yesterday afternoon at Memorial Park to pray for peace and justice, to lift up the need for repentance on the part of the Church of Jesus Christ, to lift up the need for us to be about the work of Jesus, to help eradicate racism, which has existed for way too long and has become so intensified in the recent weeks. So I can hear you. Even though I can't really hear you, but I can hear you. Enough, Pastor Peggy. We are so tired of hearing about COVID-19 in sermons. We are so tired of hearing about racism in sermons. We are so tired of waiting to be able to come back and sit in our spot in the sanctuary and worship. We are so tired of waiting for a new pastor to be called. We are tired. We are weary. We don't want such harsh words from Jesus or from you, Pastor Peggy. My dear friends, I too am tired and I too am weary at times, not all the time, and I miss our old normal. Life has been difficult and challenging and lonely for so many. So let's together, and that's what Bible study is all about, let's together find those words of grace and comfort from Jesus today. Because heaven knows we need them to be in order to be about our mission as followers of Jesus. Scripture afflicts the comfortable and comforts the afflicted. And we fit into both categories. Matthew's gospel truly makes us dig a little deeper sometimes to hear grace and comfort. It's not my favorite gospel. And thankfully, the words are there, even if we don't always recognize them. So how do we tell one another, or that very special person in our life, that we love them and care about them and are there for them? Well, you know, we might just do something as simple as wash the car as a surprise to them. Or a friend might arrange a car ride for you for a medical test so you don't have to go alone. Or we say, I love you to the moon and back, or just plain say those most wonderful words. I love you. And that is what Jesus is doing in our gospel. But using words his readers would understand. They didn't have any cars to wash. Jesus tells us how much he loves us today by saying that God cares about each and every little tiny sparrow. They were worthless little birds, cheap even by biblical standards. Yet we hear how God cares for each one of them that falls to the ground. How much more does God care and love for each one of us when we are down and when we fall, or when we are weary, or when we are tired? We are so loved by God that God even knows how many hairs we have on our head, even those who don't have as much as they used to have, as many as they used to have. Think about how important and loved we are by God. In the waters of baptism, we were sealed to the life, death, and resurrection of God's Son, Jesus, and marked with the cross of Christ forever, that super glue that I've talked about so often. Nothing will ever be able to change that relationship. We walk our lives wet, coated, smothered in the love of God. Does our baptism promise you and me that all will be easy, or that there are padded floors to catch us? No. But we are promised Christ's presence with us as we tackle the tough issues of life and as we wait for the unknown. We are promised the gift of forgiveness when we fail, and the power, and yes, even the energy to try again. On days when we're down and discouraged, the Holy Spirit is moving and breathing new life into us, even when we don't realize it. The Spirit is always surprising us and stretching us. God's Spirit never fails to amaze and catch me unaware with the most unexpected gifts when I least expect it. Our sermon hymn today that Doreen is going to sing is an absolutely perfect example of this. It was not the one originally planned for today, but it could not be more perfect, as it is full of grace and promise and hope. Morning Cry, the story in song of God's presence with us from the time of our birth to the time of our death, and every day in between. Amen.
To hear your morning cry, I'll be there when you are old. I rejoice the day you were baptized to see your life unfold. I was there when you were but a child with a faith to suit you well. In a blaze of light you wandered off to find where demons dwell. When you heard the wonder of the word, I was there to cheer you on. You were raised to praise the living Lord, to whom you now belong. If you find someone to share your time and you join your hearts as one, I'll be there to make your verses rhyme from dusk till rising sun. In the middle ages of your life, not too old, no longer young, I'll be there to guide guide you through the night, complete what I've begun. When the evening gently closes in and you shut your weary eyes, I'll be there as I have always been, with just one more surprise. I was there to hear your morning cry. I'll be there when you are old. I rejoice the day you were baptized to see our life unfold.
Called into unity with one another and the whole creation, let us pray for our shared world. We pray for those convalescing, homebound, and all affected by this continued isolation, for our first responders, our military members and their families, for doctors, nurses, medical technicians, all essential workers, and those working tirelessly serving their neighbors and finding a cure. We pray for policemen and women, for Tom and Megan Campbell, for John, Willie, Patricia, Millie, Ralph, and Eleanor, the call committee and process, Stephen Ministry caregivers and receivers, our loved ones in nursing homes and care facilities, the task force preparing and looking at reopening for worship in-house, and for those we now name silently in our hearts or out loud on our lips. Bring healing and relief to all, and give us hope in the promise of new and eternal life, where pain and suffering will be no more.
Our response today is, your mercy is great. Expansive God, you bring diverse voices together to form your church. Open our hearts and unstop our ears to learn from one another, that differences might not overshadow our baptismal unity. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Providing God, your creation shows us that life comes from death. Renew the places where our land, air, and waterways have been ill for too long. Direct the work of all who care for birds and their habitats, including our very own green team. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Protecting God, sustain and keep all who work to defend others across the world. Revive and strengthen organizations dedicated to caring for refugees and migrants while their homelands struggle for peace. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Loving God, you promise to be with all who are persecuted for your sake. Guide all who speak your word of justice and console any who are tormented or targeted for being who they are. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Compassionate God, you are with us and we are never alone. Bless all fathers and father figures who strive to love and nurture us as you do. Comfort all who long to be fathers and for whom this day is difficult. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Reigning God, you bless us with guides and caretakers in the faith. As we give thanks for those who have died, increase our care for one another until we walk with them in newness of life.
Hear us,
O God.
Your mercy is great. Receive these prayers, O God, and those too deep for words. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. And
so are your telephones ready, everybody? The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you. Peace, Peggy. Peace, Dave. Peace.
Peace, Dave.
You know I'm here. I apologize. Oh my goodness. So let us now together pray the words our Savior taught us using the familiar words. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And now live your lives in Christ, rooted and built up in him, and abound in thanksgiving. And the blessing of the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be upon you, and remain with you forever. Amen.
Go in peace. Christ is with you. Thanks be to God. Alleluia.